That $700 billion bank bailout, the TARP, may cost taxpayers far less.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We have an updated price tag for the $700 billion troubled asset relief program that expired in October. According to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, the total cost to the taxpayer will be $25 billion. Not peanuts, but far less than the original price tag and less than the government predicted just 6 months ago. Marketplace's Gregory Warner joins me now live with more on this story. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning.
So what's changed here?
Well, you remember General Motors went public earlier this month and it shed majority ownership. AIG sold off billions of dollars of assets. Plus, you know, homeowners did not sign up to take advantage of federal programs to avoid foreclosure. So a lot of that $700 billion authorized by Congress never got used.
And of course, there was the money that went to the banks, which was a large part of that as well. So we hear now that the bailout's going to cost taxpayers some $25 billion, according to this estimate. It was a very unpopular program. Do you think this low price tag is going to answer some of the critics?
I mean, not really, because yes, many economists would argue that had we not had that infusion of cash to stabilize the banks, our economy would be far worse. But the bailout was just one of a bunch of government programs propping up Wall Street, and a lot of the real cost was shifted to those other programs that have gotten less public attention. For example, you know, the bailout of Fannie Freddie. The government purchased hundreds of billions of dollars of bad home loans, which continue to prop up the housing market and keep banks from having a wave of defaults on their books. That's allowed those banks to pay back the bailout money, and it's one reason the price tag this morning looks as pretty as it does.
All right, Marketplace's Gregory Warner will be watching to see if that price tag comes down any further, but thanks so much for your help this morning.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Tackling the deficit seems to be more pressing of a priority for Congress than helping the jobless. Today, funding runs out for extended unemployment benefits. That's $310 a week on average for up to 99 weeks paid by the federal government to the unemployed. Democrats have been trying to pass a $12 billion extension since before Thanksgiving, but yesterday, Republicans again successfully blocked it, citing the money it will add to the deficit. So, if 2 million long-term unemployed Americans lose their assistance, which businesses will feel it? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman went to find out.
The average unemployment check's $300 a week, the bottom of the income ladder where families typically spend well over half of what they make on necessities. So when unemployment checks stop, it's felt right away by businesses like gas stations, apartment operators, and grocery stores.
A good portion of our business currently is subsidized by public assistance.
Grant McLaughlin is with Fresh Grocer, with 10 stores in Philadelphia.
People that don't have the unemployment insurance may not shop there at all or be shopping elsewhere, or I don't know what they're going to do, but it certainly impact our bottom line, which would probably force us to cut back on our labor force.
I asked Kathy Getzla of Blaine, Washington, what she'll do. She's 60, has been out of work for 18 months, and says she's already cut her food, gas, and utility bills to the bone.
I just hope to, you know, squeak by, but it'll be on savings I had not anticipated to be dipping into.
If funding isn't restored, it could slow the economy next year. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed around the world right now. Markets in Asia dropped on concerns China will raise interest rates to cool inflation. In Europe, stocks are up a bit. This morning, we'll get a reading on home prices here in the U.S. and on consumer confidence. Maybe that'll turn things around on Wall Street, where the Dow fell 29 points yesterday to close at 11,052.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, protecting online privacy by monitoring the web and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. By Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at AllyBank.com. And by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric.
The United Nations Climate Summit is underway in Cancun, Mexico, and the expectation for what will come out of it, well, they couldn't be lower. That has some people looking in other directions for answers to climate change. Some small businesses are moving ahead and finding that going green helps their bottom line. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Adrian Hill reports.
Badger Mountain Vineyard in Washington State has all sorts of EnviroCred. The winemakers grow organic grapes. They get cooking oil from local restaurants to make biodiesel for their tractors. They have solar panels on their tasting room. They're finished pressing their grapes for the season. The leftover bits will be composted, and the juice has stained their equipment the pinky purple color favored by preteen girls. But they aren't just making choices that are good for the environment. Most of them are also good for their bottom line. Take their decision to box their organic wine.
With the box wines, it was a way to maybe tap into a new market. And afterwards, you're thinking, well, this works pretty well for the environment as well.
Greg Power says the boxed wine market has been good, really good.
We sold our annual projection in the first quarter.
So Franzia was on to something. Power says boxes are good for wine. It stays fresher longer. The wine isn't exposed to air when it's opened. And boxed wine is good for the environment because there's less waste, less heavy glass to transport. Sustainability for a small business means taking environmental steps, but also means taking steps to ensure your business lives long and prospers. Something Greg's dad, Bill Powers, knew when he decided to try to grow grapes organically.
When we first started, boy, I'll tell you, everybody acted like I was a kind of a nut, you know.
He did it because he saw other farmers getting sick and was worried about his son and the other young men working in the farm. Now he's proud, at least as proud as a modest farmer can be, that other grape growers have cut back their chemical use based on his example. He found what a lot of small business owners are discovering, that there are ways to rethink their product that's good for business and the earth. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, letting the market decide has again produced something there is apparently demand for. It's a new non-alcoholic beer made just for dogs. A spokesman for the brewer recommends one bottle a day for large dogs and just a shot or two for a little dog like Chihuahua. One of the first customers says his dog loves it and they can both have a beer when they go to the pub. The name of it? It's Dog Beer. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Queens Cove in the Bahamas is beautiful, but rising oceans mean it gets hammered by hurricanes. You can't get insurance, which means you can't get a mortgage, so...
A lot of people have just walked away from their homes, and then you had some people who sold it for next to nothing.
I'm Kai Rizdal, insurance companies, climate change, and how we live. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.